The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Michael Eaves in today for Max Kellerman. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. You can join the conversation. Hit me up on Twitter, at Michael Eaves. You can also hit us up on the phone lines as well. 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Jeff Darlington is going to join us a little bit later. Over the course of the next 2 hours, get into some NFL news and notes, things that are puzzling to me and maybe they're puzzling to you, and hopefully Jeff can fill in some of the blanks. But, yo, we got to start in the NBA. We've got to, right? And let me speak for him if he won't say this publicly. Paul George is tired of y'all's nonsense. He's tired of the trolling. He's tired of the trash talk. He is out here doing things that he should have been doing all along, right? That's why they brought him there. That's why Kawhi Leonard wanted him to play alongside so that PG could be playoff P. And in game five on the road in Salt Lake City without Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, straight out of Palmdale, was playoff P. He did what great players do in those moments. He scored 37 points, 12 of 22 shooting. The Clippers scored 14 points off of his assist in that game, including 11 points in the second half, which was key. He has scored 30 points in three straight games. That's the longest streak of his postseason career and the fourth longest in the history of the Clippers. Playoff P is here. But will he be there in game six if there's no Kawhi? If it goes to game seven in Salt Lake City, will playoff P be there? We don't know the answers to that question. What we do know, though, is that he was there in game five. And that was the question about Paul George. We can talk about game six tomorrow night, tomorrow, when I'm back here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Plus, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And this is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. We can talk about what Paul George may do in game six or what he may have to do if there's a game seven. But right now we're talking about what he did do in game five. When all the doubt was on the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard going back to Salt Lake City with a series tied 2-2, the question was, what would Paul George do without Kawhi Leonard? Did he answer your question? Did he do what he needed to do in your eyes? In that moment, 37 points, 16 rebounds. I mean, he's the first player in the history of the Clippers in terms of playoffs to go for 35, 15, and 5 in a game. And he did it on the road. Hostile crowd. They were talking trash to him from jump. Every time he touched the ball, they were on him. But who left quiet? Jazz fans. Who now has a chance to go to the conference finals for the first time in franchise history, the Clippers, and they're at home with that opportunity, and it was because of Paul George. So what else does he have to do at this point to keep the name Playoff P? Does he have to put together a similar performance in game six? Or this streak of three straight games with 30, the longest of his postseason career, is that enough to earn it for right now? He did what he had to do in game five without Kawhi. He showed up. Playoff P was playoff P. And now the Clippers have a chance to go to the conference finals. Was that enough for you? Do you still need to see more from Paul George in this time and space? Whether you have Kawhi or not in game six, did Paul George answer your questions? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. He answered the question in the moment. There's no question about that. Game five, the guy who had to go out there and do the most, did the most. That's what you want. That's what you want from a player like Paul George. He gave you his best effort in this series when you needed it the most, and now you go home with a chance to win the series and go to the Western Conference Finals for the first time in playoff history for the Clippers. That's what Paul George did. Is it enough in your eyes? Well, look, he understood the moment. He realized what he had to do. And it was front and center of his mind. Matter of fact, he said so after the game. Paul George was talking about how he had to play and him being a superhero in game five.
You know, it was no secret. I knew I had to be big tonight. and got to be big going forward. It was just no secret coming into this. And, you know, I just first put faith in God, believed in myself. My teammates trusted me. T. Lou trusted me. And, you know, I thought we lived in a moment and we just played our hearts out tonight. T. Lewis trusts me in every situation.
He lived.
It's a beautiful thing. And, you know, I learn from my mistakes. I'll get better along the way. But he's allowed me to make mistakes and grow from it. And he's done that all season long. And so he's continuing on to trust me. The team continues on to trust me. So, you know, I got to go out there. I got to play and just continue to be me.
I jumped the gun. He lived in the moment. And that's what superstar players do. Nothing else mattered. Except that moment. That moment was game five on the road with the series tied 2-2. Paul George lived in that moment. He thrived in that moment, going for 37-16-5, and the Clippers get the win to come home with a chance to close out the series. You couldn't ask for anything more. So what we saw from Kevin Durant for the Nets, the very next night we get something similar from Paul George. But we didn't get that from the Sixers, did we? Oh, you thought I forgot, Philly? You thought I forgot about that? After blowing a lead in Game 4 on the road to allow the Hawks to tie this series 2-2, they go back home. They jump all over Trae Young and company again, only to squander a lead yet again. They were up 26 at home. That blown lead of 26 points is tied for the third largest in the last 25 postseasons. Not 25 playoff games, 25 postseasons. The Sixers blew another lead, and now they are down. They are down 3-2 going on the road. At one point, the Hawks had like a 0.5% chance to win the game. 0.5. But they made the plays, and the Sixers didn't. Now, in Game 4, Joel Embiid went 0 for 12. Like, that doesn't happen, right? It was what it was. But Ben Simmons is not making plays. And people have this expectation for Ben Simmons to make plays that maybe they shouldn't have those expectations. Same thing with Giannis. You have these expectations based on maybe where they were drafted, and more specifically, what they're getting paid. But it isn't really on those guys. We're going to talk about that later today in the Max Kellerman Show. Michael Leaves in for Max. But the Sixers didn't have it. They gave up 40 points in the fourth quarter at home. That is an epic collapse. 40 points you give up at home? In a playoff series? In a pivotal game five? Everyone has to go down for this, right? I don't mean go down like in terms of losing their jobs and getting traded, but goes down in terms of who gets the blame for this? Well, if you listen to Doc Rivers after the game, that's what he believed. He said this was pretty much on everybody.
I thought it started at the beginning of the second half, even though we kept the lead. I think we had 6 turnovers in our first 10 possessions to start the third quarter. That's why I called the early timeout. You can see we kind of exhaled, relaxed. The first unit was just good enough, and Seth carried us in that stretch to keep the lead at 22, where it could have very easily been at 30 if we don't turn the ball over. And then, you know, obviously you got to take guys out, and the second group really struggled tonight in the second half. They were phenomenal in the first half, and then in the second half they struggled. And then down the stretch, listen, we scored 19 points and gave up 40. So it's on us, it's on all of us, it's on me, it's on the players, and we have to figure out how to get back up, which we will, and bring this game back here for game 7.
I mean, yeah, everybody. Everybody was involved in that, right? And Doc Rivers pretty much played it out. He kind of went down the list on all the things that happened badly for the Sixers to lose that game with that lead, and especially that performance in the fourth quarter. But the question for Doc Rivers and for Philly fans going forward, what do you do, though? What do you do? You've had leads in both of these games, and you lost both of them. Now you're going on the road in a potential closeout situation? What do you do? Let's go to the phone lines. 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Solomon, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, thanks, man. I'm still shaking my head. I cannot believe what I just saw. And, you know, when you're asking what can you do, I don't know. I don't want to get down on Doc too bad, but, you know, this happened when he was with the Clippers. Does this man have a knack for epic collapses or what? I in a way, I've got to go back to the coach, because if your players are starting to, you know, get back on their heels just because they're up 20-plus points, you got to light a fire, man. You got to say, you got to learn how to finish a team off. I still am going to go back to Doc a little bit, because for some reason he just has this, you know, this seems to follow him wherever he goes, these collapses, because he certainly showed it with the Clippers.
Yes, he did. And I'm afraid that label is going to get stuck to Doc's back and he won't be able to remove it. I do want to talk about that a little bit later here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, in terms of Doc Rivers, whether it was with the Clippers or now with the Sixers, being the coach on the sidelines for some of the greatest collapses in NBA postseason history. But is it all him, or is it what he had at his disposal at those respective times? We'll talk a little bit about that coming up later here. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. That beat will never get old to me, folks. Goodyear Hotline. Oh, yeah, it's time for Hoops with Dre. Andre Snelling's ESPN senior writer joining us here, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Michael Leaves in for Max Kellerman today. Yo, Doc, what up?
Man, that beat does it for me, too. Right? I hear that, I just get crunked.
I mean, how can you not, like, bounce, nod your head, feel like going to a party? Like, it's just it's a basic little riff on a piano, but it bangs on a hip-hop track.
It does. And I mean, my name is Dre, so, you know.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you got forever. To. Wait, Dre, personal question. Are you married?
I am.
Okay. Did you play that at your wedding, though? If you didn't, that's a fail.
I was not in charge of the DJ.
Okay,
but
here's what happens.
I do think it got played.
Okay.
The grandma's was cutting up on the dance floor, and I think they got loose to Dre.
How long you been married, Dre?
15 years.
All right, so for your 20th anniversary, you have to renew your vows, and when you come down the aisle, that's got to play.
Still DRE. I
love it. There you go. All right, Dre, let me ask you this. I'm so glad you're here, because I think there are a couple teams, players, and especially some fan bases that need some professional help right now, okay? Let's start in Philly, right? Where,
right.
Like, if you saw the faces of some of the fans last night in the stands, they were just devastated. They couldn't understand what was happening. What is the state of mind right now if you're a Philly fan based on what we saw last night?
Oh, I mean, it's hard to get much worse because of the epic collapse and the fact that it was at home and just the history. It's been such a long time coming for the Sixers to get back, you know, to this level, and they had to go through the process and everything else. So, I mean, I'm sure everyone's devastated. The good news for them is it's clearly not over, because this series has been so streaky, right? Like, the Sixers will be dominating, but then the Hawks will show, you know what, we ain't no punks, we can come back too, and it goes back and forth. So it's not like going back to Atlanta, the Hawks are expected to dominate the action. I mean, the first game and a half in Atlanta, Philly was killing it. So they're still in it, but it cannot feel good today.
All right, see, I would disagree with you a little bit here based on what we've seen the last two games, right? Because, like, what has happened the most recent to us is what affects us the most, right?
True.
These last two games, one in Atlanta, one in Philly, the Sixers had big leads in both of those games, and they blew both of them. So the fact that those two things happen play out this way. The Hawks know that no matter how big of a lead the Sixers may get on them, they have a chance to come back. And now the Sixers understand no matter how big of a lead they get, they are capable of collapsing down the stretch. So from a mental standpoint, I think that is heavy on the Sixers' mind, and all it does is give the Hawks even more confidence, Dre, going back to Atlanta.
That one. But, I mean, I'll make it even a little bit worse for the Sixers fans. Is the question marks around Embiid's knee. You know, I feel like if we knew he was 100%, then we wouldn't worry that 0-for-12 from the other night might happen again. You know, but we're seeing all of these outstanding all-stars happen to miss time for injury. And Embiid is the one that's been able to come back and keep playing. But the fact that, you know, it almost feels like it's a little bit on borrowed time. So being down 3-2 with that situation, that does have to make it even worse.
You sound like you're giving the Philly fans an out there, Dre.
I mean, it is what it is. You know, like, I mean, we saw yesterday before the games, the action of just, you know, Kawhi Leonard was injured, and then Chris Paul went into the protocol, and LeBron goes off because he's like, hey, I told y'all this was going to happen. I mean, we've already got a record. What is it, 9 All-Stars have missed time this postseason, and I think that's never happened before in NBA history. So, I mean, it's not so much given an excuse, because yesterday it was not about Embiid obviously being injured.
Right.
But it is something that's going to be a part of the conversation when anyone discusses the playoffs.
Andre Snelling's ESPN senior writer, joining us here, the Max Kellerman Show. Michael Lee's in for Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. All right, let's go to more of a positive spin on what we saw last night, and that was Paul George stepping up to the moment when his team and his organization needed him the most. What did you make of what PG was able to do on the road, Game 5, to give the Clippers a chance to go to the conference finals for the first time ever?
I was so happy for that man. I mean, it's, you know, he's been a great player for a really long time, and obviously he's had some well-publicized playoff struggles. But, you know, I think of the first game of the Jazz series, and Paul George went to the line, and you could just hear the crowd just going in, you know, whether they were saying playoff P or push off P, chanting, you know, overrated. And, you know, for the amount of slander that he's gotten, you know, I've hated to see it for him, because by all accounts, he's a good dude. So I was happy to see him get the opportunity and really kind of show out. You know, the night before, Kevin Durant exploded, and it was, you know, a moment in NBA history. George was like Durant light, you know, like he did almost everything Durant did. And so I was happy to see that. The one thing to keep in mind, though, this series is not over. You know, it's 3-2. So I heard you talking to the caller, or, you know, talking about what does he have to do at this point. I think he has to follow it up. You know, he can't come back and have another 2-for-17 type effort, you know, over these next couple games.
Right.
You know, even if they lose, if he plays well, you know, he can keep the narrative. But they have a really legit chance to take this and get to the conference final.
Yeah, they do. And granted, so that's 3 straight games of 30 or more points for Paul George. So he's been there these last 3 games, and they've won 2 of those 3 games, right? So you would think all that positive momentum going forward bodes well for him, this team, this situation. But here's what everyone in LA knows, and Clippers know it, but they won't say it publicly. Laker fans know it, and they can't wait to shout it, is that the Clippers are 0-8 all time with a chance to clinch a conference finals appearance. That's the longest such streak in NBA postseason history. And Dre, they haven't just lost 8 straight games with a chance to go to the finals. They've lost those games by an average of 15 points. So they've been blown out in those situations as well. So from a mental aspect, now granted, the dudes on this team weren't there for all those situations, but a lot of dudes on this team was there last year when they were up 3-1 and lost, right? So they're going to remember that. But here they are with another chance to get there with all the expectation for them to do it. How does that play into what we may see tomorrow night?
Oh, it's pressure. It's pressure and it's opportunity, right? Because, you know, when there is a certain public perception of you, you almost have to go above and beyond to get past it. So if the Clippers up 3-2 lose the next 2 games despite Kawhi being out, yeah, that's going to be part of the conversation. Hey, you're still the Clippers. He's still, you know, playoff P, quote unquote. And it's going to be a narrative that they're not going to enjoy. But if they are able to win either of these next 2 games, but especially this one in L.A., this is where the opportunity is. If they're able to win this and get to the conference finals for the first time without Kawhi Leonard, then I feel like for the rest of his career, Paul George is good, especially in L.A., because he'll be the one that took him to this level. And you mentioned that he scored 33 straight games. It's not even just that. You know, he and Kawhi had, like, the exact same stats. I feel like points, rebounds, and assists. Like, you know, through the first 4 or 5 games of the series, they were playing exactly on level with one another. But because Kawhi has the positive reputation, you know, he's the Batman. He's the one that everyone looks at. And so this is George's opportunity to say, you know what, I got a cape too, you know. And I'm hoping that he's able to do that for his sake and just as a basketball fan.
Yeah, like – the story is great. Like I love stories when it comes to sports. I don't care about teams and players so much as I do the stories they create. And for a guy that grew up in Palmdale, a very remote, country-ass town north of L.A., and then you got Kawhi Leonard from out in the Inland Empire, the 909, to be able to come home and to take a team like the Clippers, who have been cursed throughout its existence, most notably because of their ownership and Donald Sterling, to get them to a place they've never been before? Oh, I'm all about that story, Dre, and I think it would be great if Paul George is the one who actually does it, because everyone thought it was going to be Kawhi Leonard who did it, but if PG does it, that just makes the story for me even better. Yo, Dre, I appreciate the time, man. Wish we had more time to discuss it, but I'm sure some things are going to happen over the next two nights that we can get into coming up later here on the Max Kellerman Show.
Oh, yeah, I look forward to it.
Oh, my man, Andre Snelling's here on the Goodyear Hotline. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. LeBron, he went off on the league, not in terms of the players and teams, but on the leadership of the NBA. Was he right in what he said, and how does the timing affect what's going forward? That's coming up a little bit later here on the Max Kellerman Show. You know, recent data shows that out of all the female-owned businesses, it is estimated that one in three is owned by a mom. CEO and founder Talia Goldstein is one such mompreneur. She needs to hire several matchmakers a month for her personalized matchmaking company, so she uses ZipRecruiter. Their technology helps her find the right people for her job quickly. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Welcome back to the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. I'm Michael Eaves, in for Max today. You can hit me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, or also get at me on Twitter, at Michael Eaves, as someone did recently, at Ben's Headspace, talking about the coach of the Sixers. Take away his PhD. He's just Glenn now. Wow, we taking away Doc's name? Come on, y'all. NBA playoffs on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight for Game 6 as the Nets host the Bucks, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on most ESPN Radio stations. Coming up a little bit later here on the Max Kellerman Show, we're going to get into what is facing Giannis tonight in this Game 6 with the Bucks and the Nets. But I do want to go back to the phone lines, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Mike is in Texas. Mike, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call. How are you, brother? Hey, man, I just wanted to say that last night's Paul George performance definitely helps, but I'm not going to get over anytime soon the performances in Oklahoma City and last year in the Clippers in that 3-1 series debacle, which I think Kawhi needs to get some blame for, too. I think it's funny how none of these youngsters and kids challenging LeBron for the title get any flack whatsoever for anything they do. But here we are still finding some reason to give them excuses to be great. Paul George is not great. He got some decent stats. Last night he had a great game. Was he the sole reason they won that game? No, he was not, and that's the difference. He is below the radar. He's below the blip line. He's just a nice guy that gets some stats. He's not a superstar. He's not elite, and he never will be until he is the sole reason his teams are winning games. I would like to see him return to the Indiana form where that fool was taking 45-foot half-court jumpers and dapping up LeBron in between the Heat games. Appreciate you taking my call, bud. Have a good one.
All right. So Mike says that Paul George is still a net negative in terms of his playoff P moniker. Based on what he's done in the past, especially there with the Pacers, but then when he went to Oklahoma City and then the Clippers, in Mike's estimation, despite what has happened these last three games, despite what happened last night on the road game 5 against the Jazz, that he's still in the negative in terms of playoff P status. What do you think about that? What else does Paul George need to do to cement his playoff P status? Hit me on Twitter, also 888-SAY-ESPN, the 888-729-3776. We'll get to those calls a little more coming up here on the Max Kellerman Show. Michael Leaves in for Max today on this Thursday. But we do have to get into this conversation about LeBron James and what he said. He announced on his social media the other day that he had told the league, or at least told someone, and no one was listening to him, that these rash of injuries that we've seen was destined to happen because of the short turnaround between the pandemic-affected season last year and the start of this season. From the time that the Lakers won the NBA championship to the start of the following season, it was just 71 days after. 71 days between the Lakers winning and the season starting. And you've had these rash of injuries throughout the NBA and especially in the playoffs over the last couple of weeks. He says it's because guys aren't getting enough rest. He says it's because the league didn't take into account player health and safety. That was his point. He says the season should have been shortened even more from 72 games, maybe down to 60 or so. I'm putting that number out there. He didn't say that. But he said the league didn't do enough for the players. Now, NBA spokesman Mike Bass responded to that, and he said, while injuries are an unfortunate reality of our game, we recognize the enormous sacrifices NBA players and teams have made to play through this pandemic. All right, so Mike didn't say anything. Mike just acknowledged that they heard what LeBron said, and sure, go ahead. Here's the fact of the matter, okay, from LeBron's standpoint. The owners and the league view the players as it relates to creating income as lines on a budget sheet, okay? That's just that's the reality. Ultimately, 450 players in the league, how much are the owners going to make off those 450 players, right? Now, when it comes to recognizing and protecting star players, that's about the individual teams. The league, the collective of the 30 owners, is about making revenue. And because of all the money they lost last year due to the pandemic, they were trying to get the product up and running as soon as possible to make more money. That's why you had such a quick turnaround. Now, LeBron is clearly aware of that. He's pointing out to them, though, look what you're doing to your product by not giving us enough time to recover. What's more valuable to the league? Playing 72 regular season games for all those individual owners to get whatever revenue that could be locally. Now, granted, you didn't have the same number of fans in terms of attendance and things of that nature, was different based on each state, blah, 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 blah. But you have your local broadcast deals, radio and television, plus the national deal. What was more important, playing 72 games or giving these guys more rest, losing out on 10 or 12 games, whatever it could have been, so that these other players aren't getting injured in the postseason? You can't predict injuries. You simply cannot. And you look at Kawhi Leonard's injury. That had nothing to do with necessarily rest. He got bumped by Joe Ingles. He stepped awkwardly, and now he may have a situation with a ligament in his knee. That's not necessarily about rest. Kyrie Irving, when he sprained his ankle the other day, he stepped on a dude's foot. That's not about rest. Now, if you can talk about hamstring issues, soft tissue issues, sure, I'll hear the conversation. But you can't predict those. You can't. What the league can predict, though, is how much money they can make by playing 72 games versus 60 games, starting at this time versus starting at this time. They can predict those things, and that's the league's overarching priority, making money. And if it comes at the expense of some players, so be it, because you can't predict which players that will be. Anthony Davis got hurt. If they had waited to start, I don't know, January 1 around Martin Luther King Day, can you guarantee that Anthony Davis would not have been hurt, especially based on his history? No, you cannot. So the league is saying, sure, we want the best quality product out there, but you cannot anticipate injuries. LeBron is like, yo, we need rest. We need rest. And you know what's going to happen? I think some of these players are going to take it upon themselves when it comes to their rest. They may ultimately get to the point where they go to teams and say, you know what? I need a night off. I'm taking the night off. I'm taking two games off because I don't want to be injured and my body needs rest. I have a theory on that that we can get into later here on the Max Kellerman Show. Michael Lee's in for Max. And what fans need to expect going forward as it relates to athletes and when they perform and when they don't. But next, everyone expects Giannis to lead the Bucks past this hobbled Nets squad, right? But is he that guy? That answer's next in the Max Kellerman Show. Hey, The Ultimate Fighter, the reality show that brings top MMA prospects together under one roof to compete for a UFC contract, it's back. Stream the season premiere on Tuesday only on ESPN+. You can also stream this show, The Max Kellerman Show, along with hours of daily sports talk. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
This is the best single game performance in KD's career.
Kevin's got to come up and get the ball if he wants it.
He does. He comes all the way to Harden, steps to the three-point line,
shoots for three, and drilled it.
If they don't win the series, it doesn't become a game you talk about for the rest of your life.
Max Kellerman Show brought to you by attorneys Cordell and Cordell. Fair divorce for men. Call 1-866-DADS-LAW. Michael Leaves in for Max Kellerman today. You can hit me on Twitter at Michael Leaves. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also get involved in the conversation that way as well. Of course, tonight we have Game 6 between the Nets and the Bucks, 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific on ESPN and ESPN Radio. So the question going into tonight's game, can Giannis do something similar to what Kevin Durant did in Game 5? That is the question. That is the expectation for a lot of people because Giannis is that dude for the Bucks, right? He was their draft pick, right? He's got supermax money, right? He is that guy in Milwaukee. But is he that guy for this moment? Now, history would suggest no, he's not. And here's the deal, folks. That's okay. Like, you literally have to accept the fact that that's okay, and I will tell you why. There's a certain motto that I have subscribe to for a long time as it relates to personal success. And it has a lot to do with self-awareness, okay? I believe every person needs to know two things about themselves, who they are and who they are not. And those are two different things, okay? If you have the self-awareness to know who you are and what you're capable of, and also who you're not and what you're not capable of or what you will not allow, you have a much greater chance to be successful in whatever endeavor you seek. That's also important when it comes to personnel decisions, whether you're leading a Fortune 500 company, a small business, or a professional sports team. You have to know who people are and who they are not. The problem that Giannis has in terms of expectations is the same problem that Ben Simmons has in terms of expectation in Philadelphia. Based on where they were drafted, based on how much they're paid, And largely to a degree, and this is more fair, what they do in the regular season, there's this level of expectation of what they will do in the playoff as well. Here's the problem with that. Not everybody is that dude. They're just not. And up until this point, Giannis has not been that dude. It's just not in him, innately. Now, good coaches can make certain athletes aware of who they are and who they are not, and from that awareness, progress and improvement can be made. For whatever reason, that has not triggered for Giannis yet. Because people were saying, this dude, all defensive team, and in Game 5, when KD was toasting everybody, not once did Giannis go over there and check him. Not once did he tell his teammates, yo, I got KD. Not once did he go to his coach and say, yo, I got KD. Right. He didn't. Because that's not who he is. He's not Kobe. He's not Michael Jordan. He's not a lot of these other great players that often get compared to based on what they've accomplished at certain points in their career. But it's more than the numbers you put up. It's what you do in the moment when it's needed the most. What we saw from Kevin Durant. What we saw from Paul George. We've not seen that from Giannis. Ever in the postseason. When can you remember a time where Giannis was the dude who stepped up in the face of the greatest adversity and did something? Or at least recognize what that moment required. That's not who he is. And again, is that Giannis's fault that the expectations are placed on him because of what he's paid? He didn't pay himself. The Bucks are paying him. The Bucks thought he was someone that he's not. Is it on the player or is it on the team, the organization, the coaching staff? We have to stop expecting people to be who they are not when they keep showing us who they really are. Does Giannis have the physical traits and skills to be that guy? For the most part, yeah. But there's clearly holes in his game, right? But if he was that guy, you work on those holes in your game. You don't have to be told to do that. That's not who he is. That's not who he has been up to this point. So why are you expecting him to be something that he is not? He's not shown you otherwise. You want him to be that if you're a Bucks fan? Absolutely. You expect him to be that because of what he's paid. But again, those expectations should not be paid, should not be tied to his salary because he does not pay himself. I know that's a hard thing for fans to understand. It's a hard thing for fans to accept. But that is the reality. Not everybody is that dude. And as of right now, Giannis has not been that dude. So far in his career, tonight will represent the biggest game of his life. Tonight. He's had shortcomings in the playoffs before. They've been the number one seed a couple times in the East. Not reached the NBA Finals. And after what happened in Game 5, tonight is the biggest game of his career. And how he responds tonight will tell you everything you need to know about him going forward. If he's not the guy tonight, you should never expect him to be that guy. Never. Because potentially, that's not who he is. And if that's not who he is, should you be more mad at him or the team? He didn't pay himself. The Bucks paid him to be the guy when maybe he's the number two. There's nothing wrong with that. Plenty more to come here on the Max Kellerman Show. Did Paul George finally silence the critics for good? Michael Lee's in for Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN+.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.